Gut health is all the rage now, but it is so complicated. And everybody has a different solution, from eating lots of fiber, to eating only meat, to taking probiotics. How can we figure out what to do? Today on episode 133, I am joined by Ross Pelton, the natural pharmacist, who recently published a paper on the microbiome theory of aging in the medical journal Integrative Medicine. Join our conversation as Ross shares his deep knowledge about improving gut health and also his knowledge about an emerging topic for me, which is postbiotics, which are beneficial substances made by bacteria that our bodies rely upon and respond well to when our gut is not optimal. We've all heard of short-chain fatty acids. Well, that's just one of many, many substances made by bacteria in a healthy gut, but are now available in a supplement form to help us all get our gut back on track when somehow we've lost our way. And one of the many things that Ross does, he works with a brand called Dr. O'Hara's that sells probiotics and postbiotic metabolites. And in our talk today, Ross provides some detail about how they are made and why they work. Ross also tells us of a study done on athletes using Dr. O'Hara's postbiotics, where they showed improvements in hemoglobin levels, VO2 max, lactate thresholds, and more. It's really quite amazing. Ross even says that it's a legal form of doping. All right, I think I'm going to have to check this one out. These products are actually available on the Wise Athletes Fullscript store. The link is in the show notes. All right, let's talk to Ross Pelton about improving athlete gut health. Ross Pelton, welcome back to the Wise Athletes Podcast.
Hi, Joe. It's great to be back with you and on your Wise Athletes Podcast. Thanks for inviting me back.
Sure thing. Yeah, you've been a good friend of the podcast. I appreciate that. And I hear you're back from Mexico, where you've enjoyed some very nice warm days, very unlike my own experience.
Yeah, we were down in southern Mexico in a little place called La Manzanilla for a couple of weeks, about 3.5 hour drive south of Puerto Vallarta. Sunny skies, warm water, 85 degree temperatures. It was fabulous.
Wow. Okay, I'm jealous. All right. Well, today our topic is the gut microbiome. And that's kind of a weird topic for me as far as you are concerned, in that, you know, I think of you as the natural pharmacist, right? I mean, we met when I was kind of looking into the whole rapamycin thing, and you'd written a book about rapamycin, and, you know, and now come to find you actually have written multiple papers that have been published on gut microbiome and problems with the use of probiotics. And you even have coined a thing. It was the title of one of your papers called The Microbiome Theory of Aging that got published here, I guess, about a year ago.
Yeah.
So gut microbiome, tell us, how did you get into the gut microbiome?
Okay, Joe. Yeah, a little background in history here. About 20 years ago, I was teaching a seminar in Florida, and I always walk through the exhibit hall to see what companies and what new products are there. And I met the founders of a company called Essential Formulas, and they exposed me to a product called Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. And it's a very unique probiotic. It's different than every other probiotic in the world, but I told these guys, I said, I'm a science-based guy. You got to provide me with the science. And they sent me home with a about 2-inch thick stack of scientific papers that I read on my nonstop flight from Florida back to San Francisco. And I realized it's a very unique product and different than every other commercial probiotic in the world. I started teaching about this product in the seminars I was giving regularly to healthcare professionals who were aspiring to get certified as clinical nutritionists. And this company ended up hiring me as a consultant for a while. And then they brought me on full time as the director of science and education. Mm-hmm. And that allowed me to start focusing on this product, which has to do with the gut microbiome. And so for the past 10 years, I have been passionately interested in and focused on the gut microbiome and how it works and why it's important. And it's one of the most important aspects of health. And because most people don't have a healthy gut microbiome, and I'll explain why during our discussion here, I think that gut microbiome problems are contributing to what I call our current epidemic of epidemics. We've got an epidemic of heart disease and cancer and diabetes and obesity and inflammatory bowel disease and autism, on and on and on. And there are studies linking all of these chronic degenerative diseases of aging or age-related diseases with gut dysbiosis or an imbalance in the bacterial population in your gastrointestinal tract. So that's what we're going to talk about today.
Oh, fantastic. I'm looking forward to learning about that from you. You're not the only one who thinks that this is important, I'll say, because as I was preparing for our chat today, I remembered reading something in the most recent Hallmarks of Aging paper, the updated one that they came out with. It went from 9 to 12 hallmarks. And gut dysbiosis is one of the hallmarks, one of 12 things that is a driver of aging. So if you've got solutions for that, we totally want to hear about that. Go ahead, educate us.
First, Joe, I want to thank you for forwarding the link to that paper in the journal Cell, because it's a really good overview of the main causes of the aging process. You mentioned that they include a dysbiosis. They also include inflammation. And those are two key factors that I talk constantly with people about because they are totally related to your gut microbiome. And so let's start with a definition of the term microbiome. A lot of people don't understand what it is. That term was coined by a scientist back in a paper published in 2001. And micro means small and biome means life. So microbiome means small life. And you've got over 100 trillion bacteria in your gut microbiome. And it's not just the bacteria. There are also viruses and some parasites and other types of organisms in the gastrointestinal tract. But we're primarily going to be interested in and focus on the bacteria that reside in the gastrointestinal tract. So when I use the term microbiome, I'm primarily talking about the bacteria. And the good bacteria are called probiotics, and the bad bacteria are pathogens, or at least capable of becoming pathogens. So what's a healthy gut microbiome? And by the way, as we go through this, I'm going to really link all of this to athletes and athletic performance to specifically target your audience here.
Great.
But a healthy gut microbiome contains about 85 to 90% good bacteria, your beneficial probiotic bacteria, and only 10 to 15% bacteria that are potential pathogens. And I say potential because pathogens are only pathogens when they increase in number and start to cause problems. But if you got 85 to 90% good bacteria, the small number of pathogens don't cause problems. So it's when things get out of balance that you start to have a proliferation of the bad bacteria, not enough of the good bacteria, and that's where we get this term dysbiosis. And dysbiosis is kind of an umbrella term that refers to a bacterial imbalance in your gastrointestinal tract. Not enough good bacteria, too many bad bacteria, and the symptoms of dysbiosis are gas, bloating, diarrhea or constipation, pain, inflammation, all of those things happen because you got too many bad bacteria or not enough good bacteria. So we'll talk about why people have this bacterial imbalance. And I think it is one of the most common health problems in not only in America, but increasingly throughout the world because for a number of reasons. Antibiotics certainly are a major cause of dysbiosis, but I think one of the most serious causes of bacterial imbalance in the gastrointestinal tract are, excuse my language here, crappy diets. And so let me explain why diet is so important and plays such a critical role in whether or not you have a healthy gut microbiome. I regularly tell people, you have to feed your probiotic bacteria well or they won't thrive and survive. Okay, so how do we feed our probiotic bacteria? Well, the types of food that your probiotic bacteria require are dietary fibers and compounds called polyphenols. Now, for people that are not familiar with polyphenols, there are a large class of compounds. There's over 8,000 of them that have been structurally identified.
Like resveratrol.
Yeah, you're right. Resveratrol, quercetin. These are the compounds that give color to fruits and vegetables. But there are also some polyphenols in herbs and spices and some whole grains and so forth. But the primary sources are fruits and vegetables. So a couple of things about these dietary fibers and polyphenols. With dietary fibers, humans do not have the enzymes that allow us to metabolize and digest dietary fibers. So when you eat them in your diet, they pass all the way through your digestive system until they arrive in the colon. And in the colon, they are the food for your probiotic bacteria. And similarly with polyphenols, many of them are massively huge molecules. We do not metabolize and absorb many of the polyphenols very effectively. So many of them pass through your intestinal tract until they reach the colon, and they are the second class of foods for your probiotic bacteria. Now, Joe, I've got a number of studies, and I'll send you my slide that summarizes these studies, so you can post it in the show notes. But there are a number of studies that document the fact that from 90 to 95% of American children and adults do not consume adequate amounts of dietary fiber. And similarly with polyphenols, anywhere from 80 to 90% of American, multiple studies documenting this, Americans don't eat adequate amounts of polyphenols.
You mean I can't get it from McDonald's?
Yeah, right. Well, you know, last fall I did a little research and I discovered there's an average of about 4,000 fast food restaurants for every state in the United States. It's a way of life for most people. And in order to get these dietary fibers and polyphenols that are required for your gut microbiome, you have to consume a plant-based diet.
So not plant only, but just a lot of plants?
Not advocating vegetarianism or being a vegan, but people have to learn the importance of consuming plant-based foods every single day. And one thing I want to emphasize here, it's not just that people don't eat enough of these things in terms of quantity. One of the really important things that people are missing is diversity. A healthy gut microbiome has anywhere from 600 to 1,000 different species of bacteria. These bacteria require different types of food. So it's really critical to eat different types of foods with different types of fiber and different types of polyphenols so that you can support the growth of a wider range of bacteria that will produce compounds that we'll talk about in a minute. We call these compounds that they produce are called postbiotic metabolites.
Okay. And they will also crowd out the bad or keep down the bad bacteria. Now, I've read, and so confirm this if you can, that we're looking for like 40 or more grams of fiber a day and also like 30 different plants a week. Or something like that. Do you have metrics that people should follow?
Yes, you're in the ballpark. But the thing I like to emphasize is that indigenous cultures like the Yanomami Indians in the Amazon rainforest and the Hadza hunter-gatherers in East Africa, they consume upwards of 150 grams of fiber a day.
Wow.
So we are nowhere close, and most Americans don't come close to the 40 grams of fiber that you mentioned, because people are relying on fast food and processed food, and we're just not getting the diversity or the quantity of the dietary fibers and polyphenols that are required to support the growth of the good bacteria, which will, as you say, crowd out the bad bacteria.
Okay.
Now, one thing I want to emphasize is that for many, many decades, people have intuitively known that probiotic bacteria can provide health benefits. But nobody really understood the mechanism of action. And I'm kind of at the forefront of trying to teach people in the world how this whole gut microbiome ecosystem really functions. And what we're learning is that the primary job of your probiotic bacteria is to digest these components in your food, the dietary fibers and the polyphenols, and produce secondary compounds that we call postbiotic metabolites. And it's these postbiotic metabolites that have a wide range of biological and physiological functions that regulate your health. They don't just regulate the health of your gut microbiome ecosystem. Many of them get absorbed systemically into circulation. And so we've got a gut-brain axis and a gut-lung axis and a gut-liver axis and a gut-skin axis and a gut-immune system axis. These postbiotic metabolites play a critical role in regulating the function of every single organ system.
So, Ross, is a metabolite would be like the waste product from the digestion of the fiber that the bacteria ate?
Except that waste connotes a bad outcome, but these are beneficial compounds, but the result of the digestion or metabolism of the bacteria of these food components and the smaller compounds that they produce have a tremendous range of beneficial health regulating effects. So we can call them waste products, but we usually think of waste as a negative, something you want to get rid of. And in this case, the metabolites have a wide range of really important health characteristics.
Great.
So this is what I'm trying to educate the world about, the fact that these postbiotic metabolites are major health regulating compounds. And the only way you can get them is by, well, there's two ways to get them, but the primary way that people need to get them is by supporting the growth and proliferation of your probiotic bacteria. And if you eat a diverse range of these dietary fibers and polyphenols, you get a diverse range, many different types of bacteria that will in turn produce many different types of postbiotic metabolites that regulate your health. And in almost all ecosystems in the world, whether it's the Amazon rainforest or the coral reefs in the ocean or your gut microbiome, greater diversity equates to greater strength and more resilience in the ecosystem. So this is definitely true of your gut microbiome. If you can develop a diverse range of bacteria, a wider range of different types of bacteria, they'll produce a wider range of these postbiotic metabolites that have a wide range of different health regulating effects. So I said there's only one way that you can produce these postbiotic metabolites, but the second thing I want to mention is that now we realize you can also take these postbiotic metabolites orally and get rapid improvements in your gut microbiome. And you'll find more and more probiotic companies starting to put one or two prebiotics and several of these postbiotic metabolites into their formulations so they can get these terms, prebiotics and postbiotics, on their label.
Now, what? Give me an example. Like, I've heard of like short chain fatty acid.
Exactly.
Right? I'm not even sure what, you know, that is, but I've heard that is one of the beneficial byproducts of bacterial digestion of my fiber. And that's good for me. So that's one of them. And so you're saying people are putting that in a pill and I can just take the short chain fatty acid instead of the fiber.
That's right. You can. But what they're missing when they put one or two of these postbiotic metabolites in their formulation is the importance of diversity. It's not just one or two, it's hundreds and hundreds of them that are required for regulation of your health. Let me give you some examples. You mentioned short chain fatty acids. And so there are three short chain fatty acids, propionic acid, acetic acid, and butyric acid. And then some of the postbiotic metabolites are nutrients. We used to think we got all our nutrients from the food we eat. Now we find out that different types of bacteria can make the whole range of B vitamins. They can make vitamin K. They make some of the essential amino acids. They make some of the neurotransmitters. And they make compounds that are key signaling compounds from, we talk about the gut-brain axis. Well, many of these postbiotic metabolites directly send signals from the gut to the brain through the vagus nerve. And so that's how these postbiotic metabolites get to your brain and can have an influence on your mood and your food choices or your food your food cravings, and people crave carbohydrates. That's because you've got developed a population of bad bacteria that metabolize and exist on these crappy carbohydrate-rich foods, and they're sending signals to your brain that says, give me more, give me more.
The bacteria in my gut are controlling what I want to eat.
Telling you what they want, you bet.
Oh, man.
And they also control or have a regulation on depression and anxiety. All of these things are starting to be uncovered on how the gut microbiome and these postbiotic metabolites influence how we think, how we feel, how we eat. And there's studies that show, Joe, that exercise increases the number and the diversity of good bacteria in your gut microbiome. So your probiotic bacteria love to exercise or love to be exercised.
Excellent.
Another really important class, we talked about the short chain fatty acid, but one of the things I do to express why these postbiotic metabolites are so important, I draw an analogy between important things that regulate earth versus the gut microbiome. One of the key regulators of health of plants, animals, and humans is temperature. On the earth, temperature regulates how things grow and whether they're going to be healthy. The analogy in the gut microbiome is acidity. The level of acidity in the gut microbiome is a critical regulator of the health of the ecosystem. The pH scale, which is how acid base is measured, goes from 0 to 14. 7 is neutral. And we find out that the healthy acidity level in the gut microbiome is anywhere from 6.2 to 6.8. So just slightly acidic. So how do you get this slightly acidic pH, and how do you maintain this slightly acidic acid base level in the gut microbiome? Well, short chain fatty acids are weakly acidic compound, propionic acid, acetic acid, butyric acid, and there's organic acids and nucleic acids and some of the amino acids and fulvic acids. There's a wide range of weakly acidic compounds that are postbiotic metabolites that create and maintain this weakly acidic condition, which is the optimal acid-base balance to promote the growth of your good bacteria, and it suppresses the growth of pathogens. And when you have dysbiosis, meaning too many bad bacteria, not enough of the good bacteria aren't producing these acidic compounds, then the alkalinity goes, you become 10 to 100 times too alkaline. To correct this dysbiosis problem, you've got to get this acidity back down to the 6.2 to 6.8 range. And many of these postbiotic metabolites are the things that are going to help you do that. Another critical part of our immune system, Joe, are called antimicrobial peptides. There's a lot of the postbiotic metabolites that are natural antibiotics. They can kill pathogens. They suppress the growth of pathogens, but they do not harm your good bacteria. So this is just another critical part of how these postbiotic metabolites create a healthy gut microbiome and regulate our health. Now, a couple points I want to emphasize here. Over 99.9% of the bacteria that reside in the human gastrointestinal tract reside in the colon. So that's really the site of action. There are some bacteria in the mouth and the small intestine, but relatively speaking, the vast majority, over 99.9% of the bacteria in your gastrointestinal tract reside in the colon. Another important point I want to make here is that over 70% of the immune cells in the body reside in the gastrointestinal tract. So if you have dysbiosis and an upset gut microbiome, the first thing that's going to be affected is your immune system. So that's another reason why this is such an critical topic for not just gut health, but overall health for the entire body. And you mentioned, and I'll emphasize here to our listeners, I wrote a paper titled The Microbiome Theory of Aging. It's been published in a peer-reviewed scientific journal. We'll post this in the show notes for our listeners so that people can read it. But my paper delineates the series of steps that happen when you have dysbiosis and how that creates gut inflammation, and that inflammation damages the lining of your gastrointestinal tract and allows things to leak into systemic circulation, creating chronic body-wide inflammation that damages tissues and organs and accelerates biological aging. So the gut. I mean, Hippocrates, who is credited with being the father of medicine back around 400 AD, is supposedly said, all disease begins in the gut. That's not totally 100% correct, but it is largely correct. You can step on a rusty nail and get tetanus, and that's not due to a bad gut microbiome. Or you could inhale glyphosate, or some of the soldiers in Vietnam inhaled Agent Orange. They didn't get sick because they had a bad gut microbiome. But basically, my premise in the microbiome theory of aging is that bad diets and overuse of antibiotics and a number of other things are contributing to dysbiosis and imbalance in the gut microbiome that is responsible in a large way for many of the chronic degenerative diseases that people are experiencing. And I believe the health of mankind is in a serious downward spiral. Well, when I was in high school back in the 1950s and 1960s, we did not have an epidemic of heart disease and diabetes and obesity and inflammatory bowel diseases and autism and so forth. And now these things are all approaching epidemic proportions. So I think that the health of mankind really is in a downward spiral. And I think that factory farming and fast foods and overuse of antibiotics all contributing to an imbalance in gut bacteria and gut problems and dysbiosis is one of the linchpins for this acceleration of all these chronic degenerative diseases. We have to teach people how to have a healthy gut microbiome.
Right. Yeah, I want to learn a lot about that here today. And all I was going to try to jump in and say was that in that the Hallmarks of Aging paper, they spoke of how dysbiosis is an accelerator of aging and is behind. And then you went ahead and mentioned all of the things, you know, obesity and type 2 diabetes, et cetera, et cetera. So, clearly this is in a very important area. I mean, it is kind of one of the newer areas for science getting into understanding how it is affecting our health and what we can do about it. But it's so complicated, I think, is maybe why the progress is so slow. It's complicated because everything seems to matter, right? You know, where you're from and what you've been eating your whole life, you know, your genetics, all of these things. You know, have you been taking antibiotics a lot? I mean, I've been hearing people talk about how they've never had antibiotics in their life. And I'm like, where have you been living, man? I mean, I probably have more days of my life even today, you know, through my age now, that I've had antibiotics than not had antibiotics. So it's like, it's amazing I'm still alive with all the things that I've done. And then the fact that we've got this, we're eating the same things all the time. So we've lost the diversity. And then the highly processed foods that like have no fiber, plus they've got preservatives. Well, what are preservatives? Chemicals that stop bacteria from making the food to rot. Well, guess what's in my gut? The bacteria. And they've got emulsifiers, which are exactly the kind of chemicals which will break down my stomach, my intestine lining, which is making it more permeable. This is just, I don't actually know any of this stuff. This is just stuff that I've read, but it just seems like this perfect storm of problems that have emerged because people could make money, not trying to hurt us, but by trying to make products that were really tasty and would last on the shelf for a very long time. And the agencies that are supposed to protect us, they didn't know that this stuff is going to have the long-term consequences that they've had. So here we are. We've got to take it on our own shoulders to do the right thing.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Joe. You brought up some really great points. And in fact, I wrote a paper titled The Perfect Storm, and I'll send that link to you, that delineates all these problems with factory farming and so forth, and then failure to rotate crops, which makes the ecosystem less resilient. And so pests come in, and then they have to use pesticides. I mean, it's a crazy cycle. And now we know more about it, but there's so much money involved with the agricultural industry and the pesticide and insecticide industry and so forth. It's hard to get changes. So it's up to people to get educated and make their own personal decisions about about their health.
Well, good. I'm glad you're here to help us get educated. So teach us.
So you said it's so complicated, and you're right. Some of the science is very deep and very complicated. But on the other side of the coin, it's so easy to eat healthy food and to exercise regularly. It's not difficult if people just have to get educated and motivated to vote with their feet and not go to the chain grocery stores, but go to the health food organic grocery stores and buy healthy food and on and on and on.
Or farmers markets.
And yeah, exactly. Like that. Locally grown food. What a concept. Yeah. So one thing I want to make sure our listeners know, Joe, is that I produced an 8-minute YouTube video titled Ross's Salad Buzz. And I'll send you the link. Everybody can find it on YouTube. But what I'm teaching people is how to make a microbiome supporting salad. And so I've got 16 different types of vegetables in my microbiome salad, my salad buzz. And it changes from time to time. You don't have to have the same things I've got in there. Seasonal variations, I put some different things in. But basically, what's important for people to understand is you have to consume a lot of different types of fruits and vegetables and these foods that contain dietary fibers and polyphenols every single day to support the growth of a diverse microbiome. And so in my salad, I've got 16 different types of vegetables.
Nice.
And so I process everything. It takes me about 20, 30 minutes to process everything, chop it up. And then the secret to this process is when I get done with it, I squeeze a lemon on it. The vitamin C in the lemon is a preservative, so I can toss this, put it in a Tupperware, store it in the refrigerator. It stays fresh for about a week.
Wow.
This is also a great time saver for people because most nights, my wife and I either have a large salad for our meal or a small salad along with something else. But when I make our salad, I go to the refrigerator, pull up my Tupperware with my salad buzz, a bag of lettuce, which has got a mixture of 4 different types of lettuce from my health food grocery store. 2 bowls on the counter, a handful of lettuce, a handful of salad buzz, maybe some wild-caught salmon or some garbanzos or some types of beans for my protein. It takes a couple of minutes to make dinner. It's a tremendous time saver, and it's the best way to support a healthy gut microbiome. So
fantastic.
I'll send you the link to that to post in the show notes for people.
Great, great.
So let me shift gears here now and get into a different topic, Joe. I want to acknowledge and let our listeners know that I am the scientific director for Essential Formulas, and we market premium probiotic products, and our flagship product is called Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. That's O-H-H-I-R-A. And Dr. O'Hara was a visionary microbiologist in Japan. And a little background and history about Dr. O'Hara. He was initially a Buddhist monk, very nature-oriented guy. Then he got a little older. He went to university and got a degree in agriculture. And after graduating, he started a landscape architect business, and he became extremely successful. He had an international reputation as a landscape architect. In 1976, he was invited by the country of Malaysia to build or to design a large, what they called a freedom park for one of the capital cities in one of the states of Malaysia. So O'Hara accepted this contract, and in 1980, he was invited back to the grand opening ceremony. And during the grand opening ceremony, he ingested some bad food and got violently ill. He was literally lying on the ground, writhing in pain, nausea and vomiting. And there happened to be a shaman attending the grand opening ceremonies who saw O'Hara lying in great gastrointestinal distress. The shaman knelt down, cradled Dr. O'Hara's head in his lap, and reached into his little leather bag and pulled out a jar and started spoon-feeding O'Hara a black, syrupy, paste-like substance. And O'Hara was astounded at how quickly he recovered. And so, curious guy, he asked some questions. He finds out that the substance the shaman had administered to him was made from locally fermented Malaysian fruits and vegetables. So that's where Dr. O'Hara got exposed to this concept of fermentation. And I'll say more about that as we go along, because the production process for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is based on a fermentation process.
Okay.
So Ohira takes copies, samples of this stuff back to Japan. He plays around with it for a year or two. He gets frustrated because he doesn't have the scientific background to study this stuff the way he wants to. So at age 49, with an extremely successful international career as a landscape architect, he walks away from that career, enrolls in a university, gets a PhD in biochemistry, and that's how Dr. Ohira's probiotics got started. It took him about 10 years to develop the production process for Dr. Ohira's probiotics, and that's what I'd like to spend time talking to our listeners to for the remainder of our time together here. Dr. Ohira's probiotics is made by a fermentation process. There are large 80-gallon fermentation vats, kind of like large garbage cans, actually. But there's hundreds of them in a sterile warehouse in southern Japan. And they start out with dozens of different types of with Japanese fruits and vegetables and mushrooms and seaweeds, all grown healthfully, no pesticides and insecticides, picked at their peak of ripeness, and then they're shredded and added to these 80-gallon fermentation vats along with 12 starter strains of bacteria. And then the bacteria get digested and ferment these foods for a period of 3 years before the product is finalized and completed. And at the end of 3 years, there's over 500 of these postbiotic metabolites. The bacteria have been breaking down the components in food and creating these secondary compounds, these postbiotic metabolites. And there's really two Dr. Ohira's probiotic products. The original formula is produced in a 3-year fermentation process. At the end of the 3 years, some of the material is transferred to mammoth 10,000-gallon anaerobic fermentation vats. And that's important because the colon in humans is an anaerobic environment. The probiotic bacteria in your colon are anaerobic. They're thriving in a non-oxygen environment. And so by transferring some of this material to these 10,000 anaerobic fermentation vats, it's giving the bacteria time to create some of the postbiotic metabolites that anaerobic bacteria can create. And so that's an additional 2 years of anaerobic fermentation. So the thing I'd like to emphasize here is that in the human gastrointestinal tract, it takes food anywhere from 24 to 72 hours to pass through the colon before it gets eliminated in a bowel movement at the end of the process. An average of 36 hours of the food passing through the colon in the human digestive tract. That means that bacteria in the colon of humans have about 24 to 72 hours, average of 36 hours, to work on the food, to digest and ferment these food components and produce the postbiotic metabolites. In Dr. Ohira's original formula, which is sold at the retail level in health food stores and vitamin stores, the 3-year fermentation process, the bacteria have 26,280 hours to break down all these components in food and produce these over 500 postbiotic metabolites. And in the 5-year fermentation process, an additional 2 years of anaerobic fermentation, the bacteria have a total of 43,800 hours. So you can see why Dr. Ohira's fermentation process is so effective at allowing the bacteria time to digest a wide diversity of foods to create a diversity of postbiotic metabolites. And I want to emphasize that this fermentation process that Dr. Ohira created mimics the natural fermentation processes that go on in the human colon. Mm-hmm. So this is a process that is mimicking nature and producing the same compounds that your bacteria are capable of producing if you're consuming a diverse range of plant-based foods that will allow your bacteria to create the postbiotic metabolites.
Let me ask you a question, Ross. I'm following you, but I need clarification on one thing, and that's in the probiotic, which you had said earlier was the bacteria probiotic, but you're also talking about metabolites, which is like what has been made by the bacteria.
Exactly.
So in this supplement, is it both things? Is it the bacteria and the metabolites?
Great question, Joe. at the end of the fermentation process, 3 years for the original formula, 5 years for the professional formula, when they encapsulate this substance, and I'll send you slides that you can post so that people see what this looks like. It's a black syrupy paste-like substance. So when they encapsulate it, yes, there are some bacteria, and yes, there are some of the prebiotic food substances that are still part of the product that were originally added. But the primary component in the final product is all these postbiotic metabolites. And so here's what's confusing. Dr. Hira's probiotics, the word probiotic is in the name of the product. And yet Dr. Hira's probiotic is primarily not a probiotic. It's the number one product in the world for the direct delivery of these postbiotic metabolites.
Okay.
So why is that important? Well, when people have dysbiosis, they have gut inflammation, they have pathogens in the gut, they have far too much alkalinity, they don't have this weakly acidic pH level that's required for the healthy environment. So we ingest Dr. Hira's probiotics, you're directly ingesting these postbiotic metabolites. They immediately provide anti-inflammatory activity and the antimicrobial peptides directly start to kill some of the pathogens off, and all of the weakly acidic postbiotic metabolites start to rebalance the acid-base level and get that acidity down to the proper level again. You're repairing the gut microbiome ecosystem by ingesting Dr. Hira's probiotics with over 500 postbiotic metabolites. It's the fastest way we know of to create healthy changes in the gut microbiome and return that ecosystem to a healthy condition. So
gotcha.
That's why this Dr. Hira's probiotics is so unique and so different, because it's not the bacteria, it's the postbiotic metabolites that really quickly start to create changes in the gut microbiome ecosystem. And one of the things we'll post for our listeners, there's a booklet that I wrote a number of years ago titled Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics and Postbiotic Metabolites. Everybody can get a free copy of this by just going to my website, naturalpharmacist.net/O'Hara book, which is O-H-H-I-R-A-B-O-O-K. And this kind of goes through and shows the production process that Dr. O'Hara created and talks about the postbiotic metabolites and all the benefits of them.
Great.
So now that I've explained, Joe, this process of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics and why these postbiotic metabolites are so important, I'd like to discuss some of the studies that have been done on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics so people understand the benefits. And one of the first studies I want to talk about is a study that was done with long distance runners who were on a track team at a university in Australia.
Okay.
So these long distance runners, they started out doing an intense run and taking a wide range of biological and physiological measurements, blood tests, VO2 max, cardiac output, all sorts of things were monitored. And after they did their intense run, on the front end, then they started taking 3 capsules of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics daily for 3 weeks, and then they did another intense run. The difference in the values in the before and then the after run, after they've been taking Dr. O'Hara's probiotics for 3 weeks, 8.4% increase in hemoglobin. Now, we know that doping in sports is illegal. You can't take drugs that will increase your hemoglobin levels. And the reason athletes would like to do that is because hemoglobin carries more oxygen to the cells, which allows the mitochondria to produce more energy. So you get more strength, more stamina, more endurance when you have elevated hemoglobin. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics in this particular trial with long distance runners, 8.4% increase in hemoglobin. It's legal. You're just creating a healthy gut microbiome.
That's interesting.
Which allows better absorption of nutrients and better delivery of production of energy in the mitochondria.
And then results in having more oxygen delivery in the end, apparently.
They got an increase in VO2 max from 42.8 up to 63.0 milliliters per kilogram per minute. So a substantial increase in VO2 max. there was a substantial increase in the lactate threshold, which means they could exercise intensely longer before lactate buildup in their muscles and creates pain that causes you to have to stop or at least slow down. And there was a substantial increase in cardiac output from 11.65 up to 20.8 liters per minute. So better VO2 max, better lung function, better heart function, increase in hemoglobin levels from Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, creating a healthier gut microbiome. So you have better food digestion, better absorption, better delivery of oxygen to your tissues, more strength, more stamina, more endurance, and faster healing if people, you know, after intense exercise. So that's one of the studies I think is really important for our athletes on Wise Athletes to be aware of with Dr. Spears Probiotics. A second study that was, I think, is an astounding study. This is a mouse study. It's called the Vitamin C Knockout Study. Almost all mammals and animals can make their own vitamin C. Humans are one of the few that can't. So in this particular study, they engineered a strain of mice where they knocked out the gene that's responsible for making vitamin C. Normal mice average lifespan about 24 months. The vitamin C knockout mice, when they can't make their own vitamin C, they only live an average of 6 months. They age four times faster.
Wow.
So they did an interesting study with the vitamin C knockout mice, and they documented that compared to the wild type mice, the normal mice, vitamin C knockout mice have a very deranged microbiome. They have a tremendous decline in the good postbiotic metabolites and an elevation of some of the pathological metabolites that bad bacteria produce, and a tremendous drop in energy, tremendous drop in ATP. So the other part of this experiment, they gave the vitamin C knockout mice Dr. O'Hara's probiotics. They ended up having nearly the same gut microbiome as the normal mice, whereas the vitamin C knockout mice had a very deranged gut microbiome. Their postbiotic metabolite production was nearly normal. And the mice getting vitamin C knockout mice getting Dr. O'Hara's probiotics actually had higher levels of ATP than the normal mice. So tremendous protection that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics provided to the vitamin C knockout mice.
Well, help me with that one. Is there vitamin C in the supplement?
There's not, but many of the postbiotic metabolites have some antioxidant activity. They have anti-inflammatory activity.
So it overcame the lack of vitamin C. It didn't replace the vitamin C.
You bet. That's exactly right. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
So another study is a bone density study that was done in Japan. The age range was anywhere from 20 to 60 years of age. And the people were taking anywhere from 3 to 10 capsules of Dr. O'Hara's per day for 24 months. The reason for the differences in the amount of Dr. O'Hara's probiotics that were consumed has to do with body size and weight. Some Japanese are very small, petite individuals, and some are big mammoth people like sumo wrestlers. But the outcome after 24 months, all the men and women had substantial increases in bone mineral content and bone mineral density. The men got an 18% increase in bone density, and the women got a 12% increase and comparative increases in bone mineral content. Now, the authors of this study did not provide any mechanism of action. They just observed and reported the increases in bone mineral content and bone mineral density. But my theory on why this provides improvements in bone density is that many of the short-chain fatty acids are weakly acidic. They create and maintain this weakly acidic condition in the gut microbiome. And minerals like calcium and magnesium and iron and zinc require a slightly acidic acid-base level for absorption. So you're improving the absorption of all of these minerals that are critical for bone metabolism. And similarly, many of the postbiotic metabolites are B vitamins, which are involved in bone metabolism. So I think that's probably why we saw these improvements in bone density in this particular trial.
Interesting.
Another study on Dr. O'Hara's probiotics was done with women that had a long history of constipation. The control group was a comparable group of women, college-age women, same weight and age, with no history of constipation. And they all took three capsules of Dr. O'Hara's daily for 2 weeks. At the end of the study, every single one of the women that had a long history of constipation had significant improvements. They had improvements in the frequency of their bowel movements. They had improvements in the quantity of stool output. There was less pain and inflammation. There were less straining to have bowel movements. So the thing I'd like to point out here is that many people realize that Dr. O'Hara's can help when they have diarrhea, but here it also helps with constipation. So the thing I want to emphasize is that Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is like an adaptogen. It normalizes function. So diarrhea on the one side, constipation on the other, it's going to help people improve the gut microbiome and improve their elimination. And elimination problems are rampant in our culture. It's one of the most common complaints that people have.
Right.
Another study that I think is important, Joe, we're really excited about, we're excited about this, published back in the Journal of Functional Foods in 2022, so fairly recent. This is an anti-fatigue study. And in this study, all the participants were healthy. They could not have any type of a health condition, not overweight, no pre-diabetes, no cardiovascular risk factors, no elevated cholesterol. They were all healthy people. And these people took Dr. O'Hara's probiotics, and at the end of the study, they all recorded significant reductions in fatigue and increases in energy. And the point I'd like to make is that these were healthy people. Unhealthy people will get an even bigger beneficial outcome. So that's energy and reduction of fatigue with Dr. O'Hara's probiotics.
Well, these all sound really good, Ross. I mean, I think that this is really amazing. Now, we're about out of time here, so I want to start to draw this to a close. I think that it's fair to say that the probiotic, which includes the metabolites mostly, is not the only way to get a healthy gut. In fact, some people, maybe they're lucky and they were raised right and had good genes and never ate at McDonald's and didn't take antibiotics. And so they've got good gut. And this is one way to maybe even for the healthy people to have it a little bit better. But people who are unhealthy, this is a possible path toward getting healthy. Is this something that people would have to take? Say I've got an unhealthy gut. Do I have to take this for the rest of my life to get these benefits? Or could this be a bridge to while I'm trying to improve my diet and all, get my inflammation down and all of that and get my acidity right in my gut? Could this be a bridge to health where, I don't have to think, well, if I start down this path, I got to do this for the rest of my life?
Both. It is definitely a bridge. It is the best way that people can create beneficial changes in their gut microbiome. But one of the things I emphasize endlessly is how important it is to be proactive in your healthy longevity protocol. People need to be proactive in creating and maintaining a healthy gut microbiome. And there are two pieces to the puzzle. I cannot emphasize strongly enough the importance of a very diverse plant-based diet. You've got to eat healthy. And then Dr. O'Hara's probiotics it's kind of like gut microbiome insurance to help create and maintain a healthy gut microbiome, because most people don't eat 10 or 15 or 20 different types of plant-based foods every day. And so there's two pieces of the puzzle. Probiotic bacteria are critical, but you've got to have a healthy diet. And if you don't have a healthy diet, the bacteria can't produce the metabolites. And it's really the metabolites, these postbiotic metabolites, that are critical, broad-ranging health-regulating compounds. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics will directly supply it to you. And what I try to get people to do is, and by the way, Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is available in most health food and vitamin stores. And the professional formula, the 5-year fermentation formula, for a long time was only available through healthcare professionals, but now you can buy it online, go to Amazon and search for it and you can find it. Compared to some of the other probiotics, Dr. Hears is a little bit more expensive, but this is a time and labor intensive product to produce, and it works. It's the best product on the market. And what I try to get people to
5 years to make it. I mean, my gosh, it's like making whiskey or something.
Yep. So I good analogy, I guess. But I try to get people, I encourage people to buy a 30 count box of Dr. Hear probiotics. The recommended dose is 2 capsules daily. I encourage people to double the dose, take 2 capsules twice a day for a week. Buying a 30-count box twice a day for a week is 28 capsules. So it's going to last them for a week. Direct delivery of over 500 postbiotic metabolites, they will experience the Dr. O'Hara's advantage. Most people are going to be aware of more energy, less fatigue, better elimination, improvements in their gastrointestinal tract. They might not be aware of immediately improvements in their immune system, but over time they might surmise that they're healthier overall. So that's really what I'm trying to get people to realize, how important these postbiotic metabolites are. It's not the bacteria, it's the products the bacteria create that are critical regulators of your health. And Dr. O'Hara's probiotics is the number one product in the world for the direct delivery of these postbiotic metabolites.
And in 7 days, I should be able to feel it.
Most people will, because most people have gut problems. Most people have poor digestion. Most people have gut-brain problems. I will send you the studies that document the fact from 90 to 95% of American children and adults are not consuming an adequate quantity or diversity of dietary fibers and polyphenols. So almost everybody's got gut problems, even if they aren't aware of it. And there's one study that's really, let me take just a couple minutes to sneak this study in, because it's critically important. Lipopolysaccharides are and we do call it LPS for short, but lipopolysaccharides are part of the cell membrane of many different types of bacteria that everybody has in their intestinal tract. Those lipopolysaccharides are supposed to stay in the gastrointestinal tract. Mm-hmm. When there's damage to the gut lining, those lipopolysaccharides can leak into systemic circulation, and they're highly inflammatory. And there was a wonderful study done where people divided into two groups. One group was intravenously given a low dose of lipopolysaccharides. The other group got intravenous saline as a placebo. And after a period of time, they reversed. So the other group got the intravenous lipopolysaccharides versus the placebo. Thing I want to emphasize, the intravenous dose of lipopolysaccharides was so low, nobody had any symptoms. They did extensive questionnaires and monitoring along with blood work. Nobody knew they'd been injected with lipopolysaccharides. But when they did the blood work, lipopolysaccharides got a 25-fold increase in tumor necrosis factor alpha, a 100-fold increase in interleukin 6. These are highly inflammatory markers that are telling people you have chronic system-wide inflammation. And yet the dose of lipopolysaccharides was so low, there were no symptoms.
Symptoms that they could notice, they could feel it.
Right.
Okay.
But chronic inflammation is a driver of an acceleration of biological aging. So this is emphasizing how important it is that people take extra caution to maintain a healthy gut microbiome so you don't have any of these lipopolysaccharides and other toxins leaking into systemic circulation, causing systemic inflammation, which is contributing at least to our epidemic of epidemics. So gut microbiome health is critical to healthy longevity, and that's my story, and I'm sticking with it.
All right. Well, you told a good story, Ross. I got to say, I'm really tempted. I'm going to have to look into this more. And you're going to send me all the links.
I'll send you the link. People can go to my company's name, the company I work for, Essential Formulas. You can go to essentialformulas.com to get a lot of this information. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are carried in most good health food and vitamin stores nationwide. And I'll send you links for our viewers so that there'll be more information that they can access. I will mention that I'll specifically get links to the papers I've written on postbiotic metabolites, the new frontier in microbiome science, and my microbiome theory of aging paper. I'll send you the link to my perfect storm paper that I wrote. Mm-hmm. So people will have a chance to get educated about the importance of postbiotic metabolites and how important they are for maintaining gut health.
And you also mentioned a paper related to the problem with probiotics, something like that.
Oh, thanks, Joe. Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, because a lot of people, probably everybody listening, has taken probiotics, and probably most of them have had one of two outcomes. The first is that I didn't notice anything. All right. The second would be it helped, but when I quit taking it, the help went away, and then I just kind of got away from doing it.
Let me address that. I'm glad you brought it up because I'd wanted to talk about it. I wrote a paper called The Oral Probiotic Dilemma. And there are really three dilemmas. And what I'm providing people in this paper is the scientific explanation for why commercial oral probiotic products don't work.
Right, right, right.
Stomach acidity is designed to kill. The level of acidity in your stomach is anywhere from 10,000 to 100,000 times stronger acid than the acidity level in the small intestine. So anything that goes in your mouth, bacteria, viruses, most pathogens, are going to be killed by stomach acid. Mm. Now, some people will take enteric-coated probiotics, which can survive transit through the stomach acid. Spore-based probiotics can also survive, but that doesn't ensure that they're also going to be effective. The second dilemma in the oral probiotic dilemma, in the small intestines, we're secreting large amounts of pancreatic enzymes and different digestive juices that are designed to break down stuff, our food, but they're also going to break down the cell membrane of bacteria. So the small intestine is also a very hostile environment for bacteria if they survive transit through the stomach. The third, and I think the most important dilemma, is that if bacteria taken orally could survive the stomach and the small intestine and arrive in the colon, then they have to locate dietary fibers and polyphenols and start the process of converting them into postbiotic metabolites. And that takes time. And as I've mentioned before, most people in America and increasingly throughout the world are not consuming adequate quantities of dietary fibers and polyphenols. So the bacteria, even if they arrive in the colon, are probably not going to be effective at producing the postbiotic metabolites. So it all starts with food. You've got to have a healthy diet in order to support the growth and proliferation of a diverse gut microbiome so they can produce the metabolites that regulate your health. Diet cannot be overstated, and people can watch my YouTube video, Ross's Salad Buzz, to get a better idea of how to support your gut microbiome with your diet.
Fantastic. All right, Ross. Well, hey, that was great. I'll put all that stuff into the show notes, and people can read up on that and look for Dr. O'Hara's probiotics.
You bet.
Thanks very much.
All right.
Have a good one. All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for joining my talk with Ross Pelton. You can find more information about Ross and Dr. O'Hara's probiotics and postbiotics in the show notes.